Greetings, everybody. Welcome to MoCo's Most Famous, coming to you from Rockville, Maryland via MyMC Media. If you sense a spring in my step, I don't know if you can hear a spring in one's step, but if you sense, you hear it? Our guest can hear it. And Who is our guest? We have a very, very special guest today. And I'm going to contain my excitement. Tommy Davidson is with us, comedian extraordinaire, actors in TVs, movies. You know him from Strictly Business, Ace Ventura, Booty Call, by the way, first time I've ever used that term on this podcast. And some might know him from In Living Color, a man that needs no introduction, even though I just gave you one. Tommy Davidson, welcome to MoCo's Most Famous. How are you today?
I am really good, you guys. How's it going?
It's going great. And one of the reasons we're excited, besides having you on the podcast, is you are coming home. You are coming to D.C., and I'm going to borrow from— I'm going to borrow from LeBron James. You're not coming for one show, not two, not three, but four shows. Can you add a fifth or a sixth?
We can add a fifth.
Okay, let's do that.
I'm always open to add shows.
Because four is not enough.
I love adding shows.
There's going to be some packed houses there. So what? When you think about coming to D.C., one of your homes, what kind of thoughts do you have?
Everything rushes through my mind. You know, I moved to D.C. in 70.
Mm-hmm.
I moved to D.C. I actually moved to D.C. in 68, moved to Wheaton, Maryland, then settled in Silver Spring, Maryland, where that's where it all happened. That's where it all took place. Washington Redskins, Loving Chevrolet, the pizza oven, Rosemary Elementary School. But there's the Chevy Chase.
I went to Rosemary. I have memories of Rosemary. And then you went to BCC High School, right?
Yeah. You got to be kidding.
Well, I didn't go to BCC. I went to Whitman, but I did go to Rosemary Hill. It was Rosemary Hills Elementary, right?
Yep.
Maybe
Rosemary Hills Elementary.
And we're around the same age, so we might have known each other. I was the one that wasn't funny.
What year did you go to Rosemary Elementary?
I don't know, but it was right. It had to be right. It had to be a year, same year. So what would that have been, 70s?
I graduated in 82.
From high school, but Rosemary would have been, so do the math. So, yeah.
The Rosemary would have been, that would have been 70, anywhere from 70 to 82.
Yep.
I mean, 70 to 75.
That was right then.
76.
That was right then. But anyway,
are you serious?
I was the quiet, boring guy. You didn't remember me. So this is about you, not me, Tommy. All right. So coming.
That's crazy.
It is crazy. Coming back to D.C. So is it all positive? Is there some negative? Do you get too many ticket requests? I mean, give us kind of a feeling on you know, specifics on what it's like coming home.
It's all positive. It's all positive. And one of the things about D.C. that's the most positive is I still know all of my friends.
Really?
From way back then.
That's
And they
cool.
all come to the show. Even I've even had teachers come to the show.
Really? So that's going to be happening Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday at the D.C. Improv.
Oh, yeah. I've had teachers come to shows and the whole community come to shows. It's a good thing. To go from, you know, a guy who used to have his backpack on his shoulder,
mm-hmm.
walk into Naval Medical Hospital, working there part-time while going to school, you know, a raggedy little apartment, finally, up in Hyattsville, you know, then starting to do comedy right after I got one of the best gigs of my life, I thought, you know, was an assistant chef at the Ramada Inn in Fairfax.
Wow.
You know, and then my friend said, "You're stupid. If I were you, I'd be in Hollywood right now. I don't know what you think you're doing," you know. And so I go to the penthouse where he worked,
mm-hmm.
which is the worst strip club on Georgia Avenue. And I get on stage. The manager says, "Go ahead up there." I look at my friend Howard. I say, "What am I supposed to do?" He said, "I don't care. Just say something." And from the first time I said something, I'm sitting with you in this car on this interview. I'm telling you.
Really?
Wow. It happened that bad.
Wow. So comedy just happened? I mean, clearly you had to be funny before you got that opportunity. You didn't just become funny or become a comedian, or did you?
Well, I didn't consider myself to be funny. I just love to laugh,
mm-hmm.
and I love funny stuff. So later I started realizing, wait a second, I'm funny, because I can say something and the whole room will laugh at the same time. Now, that's pretty funny.
And that had to be a powerful feeling.
That it didn't really settle in until I started playing, like, the Carter Baron.
Okay.
But I started playing the Carter Baron, and I started doing concerts with Kenny G and the bigger people.
Mm-hmm.
Then I was going, I think I got something here. Ended up going to the Apollo, won the Apollo, won, and met who became a manager and said, would you go out to L.A. with me for a week if I paid for it? And if things work out, would you let me manage you? I said, yes, we did it. That's where I met Eddie Murphy, Keenan Ivory Wayans, while I was out there and killed, ended up moving out there and busted it on the bus and did odd jobs and tried to break into the comedy scene. Took 3 years, three long years. Finally, those breaks started happening. Mm-hmm. I ended up being a headliner at the Comedy Store, getting a big deal with Disney and all these other people coming at me. Did a pilot for Eddie Murphy. That didn't work out. Then here comes In Living Color, and that's history.
All right, so right before we get to into Living Color in more detail, you picked a profession. There are obviously harder jobs than being a stand-up comedian, but that has to be one of the harder jobs, to sit up in front of people and try to make them laugh. And sometimes they do and sometimes they don't. Obviously, the better you are, the more times they laugh. But that is a hard job. Why did you pick that one?
Well, you know what? It started paying.
Mm-hmm. Good reason.
You know, it started paying. I was working at a deli in L.A., and I was doing open mic. I was hosting open mics on the weekend and hosting shows on the weekend. Finally, I'd get $35 a show, which added up to what I was getting at the deli. So I walked out of the deli on Comedy Faith, and I did the comedy tightrope, and it became my life.
So 1990, In Living Color, just kind of jumps off the screen. That's where all of us saw you and Jim Carrey, the Wayans brothers and sister, David Alan Greer, Jamie Foxx. I mean, what an unbelievable cast. And I don't think we understood what we were watching at the time, but it was groundbreaking. It was inclusive before that word, you know, was popular like it is today. Did you realize what was going on when you were a part of it in the beginning?
Yes, I did. I knew that we were going to be the best, because what Keenan Ivory Wayans is kind of like Professor Xavier. Mm-hmm. He took all the comedy mutants that he saw, put them in one room, and said, you guys are going to learn how to use your superpowers together. So I knew once we gelled, I knew what's going to happen. But what happened was the show didn't go on the air when we first shot it. We waited 6 months to see if we were even going to be on TV.
Okay. Wow.
So we all went back to our odd jobs and doing the things we were doing. Then they said they were going to air it. I said, if this thing ever airs, we are the Super Bowl champions.
Really?
And it aired, and we were the Super Bowl champions with consecutive wins.
You were. And the show was on, I thought it was longer, but I think it was only 4 years. Not only, but it was on for 4 years, correct?
Yeah, five.
Five, actually. Okay. And I can't believe, and it's been 25 years since the show went off the air, and you recently had a reunion. What was that like?
Unbelievable, especially in the days of, you know, these days of social media. You know, everybody's getting attention, and our show had happened already, so we got a lot of YouTube love, but a lot of people weren't hip to the we didn't get a lot of acknowledgement of what the show did.
Mm-hmm.
But boy, that weekend at Tribeca, you know, De Niro, Whoopi Goldberg, Billy Crystal, I mean, everybody was at our panel. And that's when I realized, I think at that moment I realized, you know, wait a minute, you know, this is not only something good, because I'm a connoisseur of comedy.
Mm-hmm.
This is actually iconic.
Absolutely. Historic, iconic, any other word you want to use. And again,
yeah.
And I forgot to mention, of course, J-Lo, who was a fly girl, who you might have to call a fly person in today's world. But
Boy.
J-Lo, Jim Carrey, you, the Wayans, Jamie Foxx. I'm going to go read this list again.
David Alan Greer. Not to mention, you know, the guys Kevin Bright, who did Friends, and, you know, John Bowman, who did Martin Show. And, you know, we're all over the TV, even our writers.
Larry Wilmore, I think, was one of them, right?
Larry Wilmore was on the show.
It's ridiculous.
You know, so all of our writers went on into doing things. Rusty Cuntiff did Dave Chappelle's show.
Mm-hmm.
One of our best writers. I mean, it just kept going. Steve Odekirk, who was a writer, directed me and Jim Carrey and Ace Ventura, too. So the hits just kept on rolling.
Unbelievable. Now, do you know, some singers get tired of playing their hit songs. Do you get tired of being asked about In Living Color?
No. No, it's one of the best things that I've ever done.
Yeah.
You know, we had a trip about the size of a phone book. We were like the circus. We were running by each other all week, every day.
Mm-hmm.
on the hour, on the minute, going into makeup, putting on a new costume, going in another character. It just was a nonstop consecutive years of just confetti. Everybody hung out at a show. Mm-hmm. Denzel Washington, Bruce Willis, I mean, everybody.
Wow.
It was the place to be. It was also a big old party, too.
Yeah, I can imagine, or I can't imagine. So I was reminding myself of some of the iconic skits, Michael Jackson, which I know means something different now, but the black or white. Jamie Foxx is Wanda giving you a massage. Do you have nightmares about Jamie giving you massages to this day?
You know what? You know, the only nightmare I had was when he tried to pull off my underwear in front of the audience. And if I didn't have on nylon reinforced Speedos, it was a situation.
Also, you did an impression, and I couldn't believe someone would do an impression of this, of Sugar Ray Leonard. Nobody does an impression of Sugar Ray Leonard, yet you not only did it, you nailed it. I believe it was a skit. David Alan Grier was Mike Tyson. No, it was it?
Three Champs and a Baby.
Yes. And who was Mike Tyson? Was that
Keenan?
All right, and he would say, "I'm the heavyweight champ. It's preposterous. I'm the heavyweight champ."
It's ludicrous.
It's ludicrous with a lisp. It's
ludicrous. Yeah. It's ludicrous.
So why?
And we coined all the terms. Mm-hmm. You know, all the terms became iconic terms for our whole society. You know, two snaps in a circle. Mm-hmm. You know, bam. You know, I mean, we changed the TV world.
You did. When you're changing words, that's a big deal. I know Seinfeld gets a lot of credit for yada, 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 and some of the other things that they came up with, but your show did the exact same thing. So that is a big deal when you're creating words. It becomes part of the conversation.
Over and over, just kept happening. We were the talk of the radio every Monday morning. We were the talk of the radio. Everybody talked about us all week until the next Sunday. Everybody went home to watch the show. We got to be home and watch the show with everybody. So I'd wait for the show to end, and then my phone would start ringing. It was crazy.
That is unbelievable. Well, we could talk about In Living Color for 2 hours, but I don't think you have 2 hours, so I wanted to get to a few other things. Something I've learned that I did not know, you had, Diddy. Is he P. Diddy? Is he Diddy? Is he Puff Daddy? I can't keep track. What is he right now? Is
he's
Diddy?
He's all of those.
He's all
he's
of
all
them?
He's all of those. I think he's Puff Daddy now.
He's Puff Daddy now. Okay, so he worked for you years ago?
He worked as a production assistant on my first movie with me.
How wild is
and
that?
And worked closely with me at night, get me out of all the clubs, showing me all the new hip-hop acts. He was a genius then.
So you knew this man was going to become something?
I knew. There was something about this guy. He was just so entrepreneurial, and he was so young. And I was like, this guy is going to be something. Then the next thing you know, he launches his own label, and it's history. Heavy D was also there with us, with Uptown Records.
Wow.
We're there, and they did our soundtrack with Missy, you know, on Booty Call. We had Missy Elliott. Mm-hmm. We had Jodeci, Mary J. Blige. I mean, you know, not to mention Samuel Jackson in Strictly Business with me.
That's right.
And Isaiah Washington, Vivica Fox in Booty Call, mm-hmm. and Jamie Foxx. And then me and Jada Pinkett in Woo. Then me and when Spike Lee's film with Savion Glover, Damon Wayans, you know, Michael Rapaport, it's a cave-in.
You've hung out with some pretty cool people, Tommy, over the years.
It's been a ride. It has been a ride.
Not boring, right?
At all, even to the moment.
All right, I want to ask you about a comedian turned director, Jordan Peele. I'm really curious what you think about. So here's a man who is, you know, one of the funniest guys out there, and then he decides to be a director, but not for comedies. The movie Get Out was just mind-blowing. What do you think about Jordan?
He's a genius. I haven't met him. Can't wait to see him. I know we're going to laugh right away. I mean, he's just... I believe he was spawned. We spawned him, I believe.
Okay, I think so. Either directly or indirectly,
yeah.
Right? Absolutely.
Yeah, we were his Dr. Frankenstein. He's alive! He's alive!
He's alive.
Yeah.
It's alive!
It's alive! Now it's choking me. Hold on, it's choking me now.
Okay.
It's alive and choking me.
That's right. Who makes you laugh?
Everybody.
Okay.
Chris Rock, you know, Tracy Morgan, you know, Seinfeld, you know, Adam Sandler, Ben Stiller, Roseanne Barr. You know, I was in the trenches with them before they all had their show.
Mm-hmm.
So we were all regulars at the Comedy Store.
Right.
So I was laughing all the way. And Richard Pryor, Eddie Murphy, I mean, name them. Go ahead. I mean, Bernie Mac, Martin, Ellen DeGeneres. Mm-hmm. I mean, Rosie O'Donnell, even Michael Keaton and Tom Hanks when they were doing stand-up comedy.
Wow. You saw them all.
Robin Williams.
Mm-hmm.
Saw them all. Work with them all.
Mm-hmm.
Gig with them all. I'm in the Marine.
Not to get too philosophical about what you do, but I'm sure you've thought about this. Your job, or one of your jobs, besides being obviously husband and father and family stuff, is to make people laugh. And that's such a hard thing to do, but it's also such an important thing to do. And I was going to say, especially nowadays, but you know what? Throughout history, there's always bad stuff going on. So how philosophical do you get about the importance of making people laugh, making them forget about their hard days or whatever they're going through?
We're ministers of comedy. Mm-hmm. We're ministers of happy. You know, we're the opposite of people who work at the baggage claim.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when the lost baggage department, you know, the first thing somebody does in the morning and goes, "Where's my damn bags?" You know, they're frowning. First thing people do when they see me is laugh.
Uh-huh. They do. And you don't, and you're so funny, and I'm not just saying this, but you're so funny that you don't even have to say anything to be funny or to start people laughing. You got the facial expressions, the body language. I mean, you'll come out on stage and think people are already starting to laugh. So that's got to make you feel pretty good. You'll take that? But even though that's true, you still have to earn it every night. Even though people are there because they love you and you've made them laugh, obviously, in the past, you still have to earn that joke by joke, don't you?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It's not an automatic.
Mm-hmm.
Not an automatic. You know, it's a technique, and you got to practice. And like being a pro basketball player, you got to have your shots on.
Right. Carolyn and Nick, two folks at work here, we're listening to the podcast Sway in the Morning. And I didn't have a chance to do it, but he asked you about impacting lives. And how does it make you feel knowing that you've impacted lives, not just by making people laugh, but in other ways?
It makes me feel good. You know, I can make a difference in people's lives in so many ways. You know, this has turned into more than just comedy. This has turned into a way of life. Mm-hmm. You know, so I went from serving comedy to serving, like, mankind, man. I mean it, too.
Mm-hmm.
I've gone around the world doing military bases all around the world for 27 years. Just finished this show called Vacation Creation, where it took deserving families around the world on cruise ships for 3 years around the world. You know, and not only that, but just working with, you know, the Boys and Girls Club, and Down Syndrome, cancer,
mm-hmm.
just all the opportunities that I have to make this world a better world. And it's mind-blowing.
And I think there are studies that say that laughing actually is obviously healthy, but makes you live longer. So you're actually helping people live longer. That's pretty cool.
Oh, I like that.
All right, look, we're going to take a quick break and come back and wrap this up with the great Tommy Davidson. I'm Joe Yashroff. This is Moco's Most Famous, and we'll be right back. We got to talk about Tommy's book and a few other quick things. Be right back.
MCM, your community media center, is making Montgomery County a great place to live through programs like 21 This Week, Montgomery County's hardest-hitting political talk show, keeps you up to date with the local political scene. Montgomery Community Media. Our middle name is Community.
Welcome back to Moco's Most Famous. I'm Joe Yashroff. More importantly, we are here with Tommy Davidson, the great Tommy Davidson from In Living Color. Too many movies to mention. Got a new book out, which I'm going to ask him about. I'm going to try to ask him a question he has never been asked, because I'm sure he's been asked every question 1,000 times. So I'm going to ask one.
Bring it.
Let me know. Let me. Okay.
Bring it.
Okay. When you're on stage and you're telling a joke, there are typically two kinds of reactions. There's probably more, but let's break it down. There's the laughter, and then there's the clapping, okay? So typically laughing is more of a compliment that it's just, you know, you can't control. You laugh when something makes you laugh. Clapping is something, oh, okay, that was clever. That was clever. So tell me the difference between a laugh and a clap, and if you notice that, and if you've ever been asked that question before.
Right. Laugh is happy in an instant.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have time to say it's funny. Your body reacts. is laughter. Mm-hmm. Applause is admiration. Mm-hmm. It's awe, A-W-E. It's like, wow, mm-hmm. that great. So you can't put a thought to it. The clap says, hey, that is great. Mm-hmm. One is admiration, and the other is happy.
So do you prefer one or the other, or are they just different? Different forms of you know, this is good.
I'll take it. I'll take it. Never been asked that question.
Yeah, I won a nickel. All right. Okay.
How nifty.
When you're not on TV or on the stage or in a movie, are you funny?
I don't know. You know, because the funny is in the eye of the beholder, laughter.
True.
You know what I mean?
True.
So, you know, when I'm with my friends, there's a lot of stuff that just comes up that's just humorous. Mm-hmm. When I pass by strangers, we find the humor in it. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just something that's present, you know? It's an ism. You know, it's happy-ism.
Mm-hmm. So you have four shows. We mentioned DC Improv this week, so people need to go out and get their tickets. I know I will try to come Friday or Saturday. So my question is, your material, how different are the four shows? When it's a musical, when it's a concert, it's typically the same show, although Bruce Springsteen, I know, mixes it up. How different are your shows?
Well, you know, there is a set pattern. Mm-hmm. But in between that pattern, the way I do comedy is I do it in the moment. Mm-hmm. So I kind of, it's like a slalom in a way, a ski slalom, mm-hmm. you know. It's just every cone, I just go around it. You know, every cone, I just don't think. I go from subject matter to subject matter and flow with the energy of the audience. It's hard to explain. Mm-hmm. But what I experience is a natural unnaturalness or an unnatural naturalness. I got that from Bruce Lee. Hmm. Bruce Lee said in an interview in 1966, a guy asked him, how are you such a great martial artist? He said, I practice so hard that my body reacts at the speed of a reflex. But a reflex is natural, so it's unnatural reaction. So what I experience in martial arts is an unnatural naturalness and a natural naturalness.
Wow. That is philosophical.
And I saw that. When I saw that interview, I said, I wonder if I could do that in comedy. Mm-hmm. So I practice everything, impressions, storytelling, improv, you know, joke telling, and I practice all of those at once, and now they're all just one thing.
That's really cool. What you mentioned impressions. What's your favorite impression? I know there's 100 of them, but if you had to pick one or two, what would you say your favorite one is that you do?
Probably Stallone.
Stallone?
Because, you know, yeah, but Stallone is just... Stallone just kind of rolls off my tongue, you know what I mean? I mean, with Paulie, you know, Apollo Creed. In my last movie, The Redeemables, I actually wore a pair of True Religion jeans, which I thought were pretty hot, but people told me they were out of style. So I tried my Ed Hardy t-shirt, and they told me to take that off as well. So since the hip-hop world is blown up, I figured I'd just go ahead and do Creed, you know what I mean?
That is so good. Sly, also from Maryland, by the way, originally. Not many people know that.
Yes, with the Blair. With
yeah.
The Blair High School.
Was it Blair? That part I didn't know, but I knew he was from Maryland.
Yeah, and Lily Tomlin, and I believe Elvis went there.
Elvis?
At least that's the legend.
All right.
That Elvis went to Blair like once.
All right. I know Louis Black went to Blair and Goldie Hawn went to Blair.
Okay. And Tommy Davidson went where?
To BCC, Bethesda Chevy Chase High School. Thank
right.
you very much. Class of 82. Now, do you know
right.
who else went to BCC who is actor, comedian Daniel Stern from Home
That's
Alone,
right.
Breaking Away, Home
That's
Alone?
The thing of it.
And this
right.
was like 5 or 6
That's
years
right.
before you. So I just kind of put two pieces. Yeah, so that's pretty amazing. So
yeah.
this is
That's
a comedy
right.
hotbed.
Right.
I didn't realize Montgomery County was so dang funny.
Hey, it's a comedy skillet, man.
No, I mentioned the Sugar Ray impression. I was stunned, floored that you did that. It's like nobody does Sugar Ray Leonard. How and why would you do a Sugar Ray Leonard impression?
I was asked. And you know, what I did, you know,
no
it
reason.
Was, yeah, they came and turned to me at the rehearsal and said, can you do Sugar Ray Leonard? And I said yes without knowing I could do it. So I ran home and started watching him, you know, watching his interviews and stuff. And the next day, sure enough, I had it 100%.
What did it sound like when you did that, hypothetically?
Well, you know, Sugar Lynn used to have a speech impediment.
Yep.
So, very deliberate with the way he talked. So he kind of stops sometimes to stop himself from stuttering. So he'd talk about Tommy Hearns. Tommy had been hurt, very, very good fight. Long arm. He catches with the jab. you got to keep ducking. If you don't duck, he going to hit you. So you got to keep trying to do everything you can. But all in all, he's a very, 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 very good fighter.
Impressions are, you're not just doing the voice, you actually become the person. Is that right? Is that an apt description?
Yeah, I just morph. I just morph.
Okay.
You know, watching Obama long enough, you know, I can go right into the way that he talks. And the thing about him is he'll take something that sounds, you know, unimportant, something unimportant, and make it sound presidentially important. Like, for instance, let's say Kellogg's sausage flakes. They're part of an essential breakfast. Everybody knows that. And being a part of an essential breakfast means that they are included with banana oranges and a carafe of orange juice and milk. They're always pictured with the bowl of cornflakes. So they're part of complete breakfast. Also, Tony the Tiger is stylish. He wears a blue bandana. That could be construed as a crip, but it's not. And Kellogg's Frosted Flakes, I mean, everybody knows that they're great.
I'm trying not to laugh out loud, but I cannot help it. So that's unbelievable. All right, I want to forget to talk about your book. You have a new book that's already out or it's coming out?
It'll be out, actually, Black History Month. I just finished the final, you know, the final version. So it's going to print. It's called Tommy Davidson Living in Color.
Ah, see what you did there?
Yeah, you see what I did there? And it's actually autobiographical because Tommy Davidson Living in Color is my story. I was abandoned as an infant in the trash in Mississippi. I was adopted by a white woman in an all-white family. I moved to an all-black city, Washington, D.C., thusly living in color.
That's very poignant because I wasn't going to get into how your life started, but I want to ask you, a lot of comedians, it seems comedy comes from darkness, not maybe with everybody, but it seems like with a lot of comedians, it comes from dark places. Is that right?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I do believe that we have been able to take, we're like a sand that goes into, you know, an oyster.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's uncomfortable at first, but then it just polishes off and turns into a pearl. I think that's what comedy is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think we all had some really, really harsh experiences, and our coping mechanism was comedy.
Right.
And so I think, at least for me, it was.
Right. I was watching a documentary on Jane Fonda, who, you know, interesting woman. I didn't realize how interesting, and the gist of it was that she's had basically five lives. Do you feel like you've had however many different lives?
Yeah, about 55.
Wow.
About 55, and I am 55, so that matches.
One a year.
55, the number of all-pro Redskins linebacker, Chris Hamburger. But anyway.
That's right. He was a nasty hitter. Couldn't do what he did back then. You couldn't do what he did.
Oh, yeah, no. He did it all wearing a quarterback's cage on his helmet. So
That's right.
That was impressive.
How would you describe your life right now?
Free.
That's awesome.
Free. I travel the world. You know, I do what I want. I make the kind of decisions for my career that are mine.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I don't want too much all the time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's natural to want more, you know, and that happens to me. But it's not the way I think. You know, I think that I am one of the luckiest son of a bitches in the world to go from catching the metro to, you know, having my own car. I mean, simple stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's just me as a human being.
Sure.
Now you add the rest to it, and I could ask for more, but hey, I have more. Way more than I had.
Well, I know that you've given us a lot over the years, a lot of laughter, a lot of joy, and we can't thank you enough and cannot wait to have you come back home this week to the DC Improv for not one, not two, not three, but four shows. I'm going to try to go to all four, Tommy.
Yeah.
Now I'm so pumped up right now. I'm going to all four shows.
Do it.
You'll be like, who is this guy that's been at all four shows? Can you get him out of here?
No, that's like going to the Super Bowl four times in a row. So.
Yeah, it is. Or people that go to Bruce Springsteen like 300 times, and you wonder, like, why would you go to Bruce?
Right.
You know,
or Elton John or Jay-Z. You know, they just got to be seen.
Yeah, I'm going to be a Tommy Davidson groupie now, and hope you can deal with it. Cannot thank you enough. wish
I'll take it.
Wish you continued success. Can't wait for the shows. You're at Tommy Cat on Twitter. Thank you so much, Tommy. Can't wait for this weekend.
Thank you so much for a great interview, Matt.
I appreciate that. That's the great Tommy Davidson. I'm Joe Yashroff. This is MoCo's Most Famous, our engineer. Thank you so much to Carolyn Ruskowskis. And we'll see you next time on MoCo's Most Famous.
Thank you, guys.